this is Stephen, CEO of Paizo. This is a seminar to talk about Pathfinder Kingmaker, the CRPG that we're going to be making with Alpac Games. So, why don't we introduce everybody on the panel so everybody can tell me who people are. So, we'll start here.
Actually, not here, but it's Alexander.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know what I was saying?
Just introduce yourself.
I'm Alexander Bashurin. I am creative director for the Pathfinder Kingmaker game. I'm working with Alpac Games and Bruce there for my role.
I'm Chris Avalon. I'm working on with Alpac Games as a narrative designer, and I've worked on a metric crap load of RPGs. And Pathfinder is the latest one. I'm very happy about.
And I'm Alex Pachevsky. I'm the head of Alpac Games.
So I'll give you guys a little background about how we got to this point, and then I'll begin with a guy named Chris. Chris has been, I met Chris a number of years ago when he was with Obsidian, and over dinner we kind of geeked out about how much fun it would be to make a Pathfinder CRPG. Through the last couple of years, Chris has been trying to play Matchmaker and get me hooked up with a CRPG company. You introduced me to Alcat, and he's two fine gentlemen, and we started discussing this, I think, last year, right. Gen Con. Alexander came out to Gen Con, spent the afternoon with him, showed me a bunch of stuff that they had already in process, and they had started doing some concepting to show us what a game would look like, and I got so excited, I ended up bringing Jeff and Eric and Sarah Robinson, our senior art director, in, and they started geeking out and trying to bring more people in. before you know it, we were just in discussion to do this game. So it may seem like it's sudden to you, but we've actually been working on this for a while. And Alexander came out in March and let us play through a bunch of the game. They had a vertical slice. It's where you take the concept of the game and you make this vertical slice so you kind of see how the game plays. So it's a small piece of the game, but it gives you an idea of what the game will play like when it's finished. And we were cycling employees through as fast as we could possibly get them over there because everybody wanted to get a chance to play. And I can tell you the Paizo staff's super excited about what they've seen and really feel that the flavor of Galarian and Pathfinder is really going to come through in this game. So, with that, I will leave you to these guys, and they can tell you more about what they have in mind.
Thank you. First, I will tell you where and how we decided to make the game. I'm from Russia, and when I was studying in Moscow one time ago, the computers was a rare commodity in Russia. So I was a lucky one because my father got a computer at his workplace and it wasn't used. I was privileged to go there and study, which meant play games. There were not so many games on the computer, but one stood out. It was this one, The Eye of the Beholder. And it drew me into the world of fantasy, magic, adventuring. But I didn't understand what is going on in the game, because why the hell -5 is better than +5?
Yeah, we say that now too.
But there were rumors that somewhere in Moscow there are people who's playing this on the table. And I chased them. I found them. They had a precious relic that was passed from one person to another because, as you can imagine, it is quite hard to get a hold of this kind of book in Russia. And then it becomes something like a stranger thing in this bar. In dormitory of Moscow State University, and we just playing it at the table. And after that, I understood what I want to do for the living. I want to make games. And I chased it, and I'm already 18 years making the computer games, but I never had an opportunity to make the game like the ones that inspired me to do it for the job. Some were closer, some were a bit far from this dream. And that's my story, but there are far more stories for the people in our team. Some spend countless hours and sleepless nights before the monitor. Some play campaigns for 2 or 3 days straight at some location. And we are all very excited when we understood that the CRPG are on the rise again and we can make a new one, the game we were dreaming to make. And for the old, these years, we continued to play a tabletop and we tried several systems, but once again we got drawn to the DeLorean. It is a new take on familiar system. It's not a just commonplace European fantasy. It's a constellation of settings and the Eastern Range changes. And also it has some really wacky stuff like goblins, like robots, and of course time traveling to the 20th century Russia with rifles and planes. Yeah, I have to mention the ring of we like playing long campaigns, we like making complicated characters and clear characters. So when we started to discuss into what game can we make, it just was natural before us. And but selecting exact adventure was a bit more complicated because there are a lot of great adventure passes for the Pathfinder. But it takes more than being just a great adventure to make it a great computer game. And Pathfinder Kingmaker has a lot of to provide for great computer game. It's a flexibility, open world ability to make a lot of possibilities for a lot of player actions and a lot of player choices. It allows players to live in the story, not just experience one. And of course it's fun. And we had a lot of fun playing Kingmaker at the table, building our kingdom, protecting our claim. And it's just perfect medium for the computer game. And being one of the most popular range paths also helps. From the origin story back to the game we are making, we are making a single player isometric computer RPG set in the world of Galarian, focusing on the event on the Kingmaker Adventure Pass. We take inspiration from great RPGs of the past like Baldur's Gate, Planescape Torment, Doors of Eternity, and we are expanding the story of adventure, allowing broad spectrum of choices and focusing on interactions, reactions, and relationships with other companions and travelers. And it's also about ruling the kingdom you created on the lands you claimed, and it provides even more opportunity for roleplay and for feeling powerful. And it's one of our first screenshots that we share. That allows you to understand the game they're making. And making Pathfinder into a computer game, it's like an epic adventure because Pathfinder is really big. Actually, I'm sorry, but it's enormously huge in terms of rules and source materials, and it's still growing. And we also want our players to experience the whole story of Kingmaker, which requires us to make all the levels. To start with, we are making the classes from the core rulebook. We are making races from core rulebook, but we understand that the most interesting and cool stuff lies beyond that. So for classes, we are adding Alchemist and Inquisitor as the classes that you will be able to play as a player, character and as companions. And also we are making a lot of feats and spells from all different kinds of sources, just because we want to, as a players of the tabletop adventure, we understand that there are precious builds that a lot of players have experienced and we want to preserve them, make them viable, playable and interesting, and this requires us to make a lot of feats and spells from all the different sources. And of course there will be tons of equipment to loot, to get and to experiment with. And that brings us to combat. Because combat is a place where all these builds and characters really shine. As you can guess from the references of the games we are inspired by, we are making the real-time combat as tactical boss, where you can sync your tactics through at your own pace, at your own, and select your actions. And after the boss is lifted, you can experience the visceral feel of combat and drink good animations, spectacular visual effects. Of course, this will require us to change some of the rules, spells, abilities to fit and work well with the game. But we are making every effort to maintain the Pathfinder feel of the game and the combat of everything. And of course, there will be plenty of settings for those who want to fine-tune their experiences. One of the difficulty settings in the game is called Core Rules, and it's just as this, it tries to maintain the rule set in its entirety as best as possible. And it's actually quite enjoyable, but quite hard to play in. So if you want to have a little bit easier time, you can tweak some options or maybe select one of the preset ones. So, combat is very important, but another very important part of the game is story and
storytelling.
Everything about that.
Yeah. So the Pathfinder Kingmaker is obviously based on the Kingmaker adventure path. We have had the opportunity to add additional layers to that and play around with some of the characters and want to get introduced to the story. But the most challenging part of it was actually when Lisa Stevens said, Kingmaker is very near and dear to my heart, Chris, and I've actually run that campaign several times with the unspoken subtitle, Don't Fuck This Up. But, you know, what advantage we've had with translating Kingmaker into the computer role-playing game format is because we have that entire adventure path laid out and we know what all the characters are, we actually look for another way to sort of add a layer to it. We're like, hey, well, what if we introduce this character even earlier in the adventure path and then get some additional side quests with that? How can we take the dozen companions that we're bringing into the game and actually have them an important part of the storyline and sort of enforce the player's actions? And that's been kind of an exciting experience. And those companions that you have in the storyline, they have a lot of relationship arcs and a lot of hooks to what's going on in Kingmaker. So that makes your interaction with them more important because they actually pay a lot of attention to what you're doing, and their loyalty to you, their affection towards you, their love towards you, or their possible desire to not like you, betray you, all of those aspects are things the player can sort of manipulate and or sort of realize over the course of the game. So we've made a lot of effort to not just try and translate the Kingmaker path faithfully, but we actually want to make sure we're adding a lot more narrative content as well. So if you're familiar with the adventure path, the computer game experience will actually be have some freshness to it when you actually play it. We felt that was very important to us.
Yeah. And another aspect of the game is exploration, and because it's inherent to the Kingmaker, you have to explore the lands and go play. And we want to provide a fresh experience for the exploration. You can move along the geographical features, like moving along the river or along the edge of the forest, or and explore while you're doing this, finding places of interest to visit, have your way of exploring the lands. But we also aim to provide additional experience for for traditional CRPG players. And it's actually kind of interesting that camping, which is quite important on the tabletop, where you set up the camp and understand who's going to hunting, who's standing watch, it almost never transition into the computer game. And we aim to fix this and to provide the camping opportunities of players. With all this decision, finding place where to rest, how to stand watch, to avoid some random encounters, and even listen to your companions discussing the recent events at the camp and how they barely survived the encounter with something. Another aspect we want to expand is traveling. Because when we played this on the table, we were not traveling just with the whole group. We had horses, we had wagons to carry the old stuff, and we want to make this into the computer game. You will be able to buy your horses, transport your loot, protect it from trouble if it catches you on the way, and upgrade it with new horses, and probably, if you are very good at other aspects of the game, even flying mounts. And it's, in a way, kind of a highwayman experience from Fallout 2, when you had your car and you protected it, upgraded it, traveled with it. And also, speaking about collecting the loot, there are a lot of loot to collect, and it's not a very king thing to do. So, when you live in the area, you can have your people gather loot for you and bring it to you just to sort them. Maybe sell something, maybe drop something. And it's small features, but there is one huge feature of the game that make it really stand out from other computer RPGs, and it's Kingdom. Main feature of Kingmaker Adventure Path. It allows you to govern your land, so you have that land you claimed, and something happened. Happens inside it. It could be a problem. It could be an opportunity. Some of them are really big and requires your personal attention, but most of them are quite small, and you have to send to your leaders, NPCs, or companions you put on the government position in your kingdom just to solve it. And he will try to solve it as best as he could, but according to his alignment, this will be his decision how to solve this. And so there are a lot of this event. They're random, but they appear in the pattern that is tied to the narrative of the game that tells additional layers of story, the story of your kingdom, how it experiences problems and how it overcomes them. And it expands. Entire map of the stolen lands is yours for the taking. It's divided into several regions, and as you solve problems of those regions, they can be added to your kingdom and making it more powerful. And there are some opportunities to upgrade those regions and upgrade your kingdom along the way. But this will be tied to your decisions, how you approach the events and situations. If you will be tyrannical ruler, you will be one upgrade. If you will be benevolent ruler, you will be another upgrade. And also, Kingdom is kind of your reflection of as a player. It is a companion, a character in its own right. And there are several systems that allow you to experience it in this way. For example, there will be nations to befriend you. And if you are evil, paladins will not approach you. But probably you will get approached by witches of Irizan, because they kind of like the things you are doing. And in your capital, you will be able to build an embassy for them and see the witches and the undead minions going on the streets. And this brings me to the development of the cities. They will be able to select buildings you want to construct in settlements. And well, some of the regions have just small settlements like villages, other regions have biggest settlements. And of course, your capital is the biggest of them all. And you can select a building and kind of build the capital any way you like. Add to that kingdom origins, special undertakings that affects the entire kingdom, and you gain a perspective of the whole strategic layer of the game. And of course, for those who like to play with option kingdom in background in the adventure path, it's still available, it's automatable, and if you want to experience it as an RPG without strategy element, it's your choice. And of course, there are some opportunities to gain ruling is great, and some view it as a burden and want to have some reward from that. And you will be able to set up royal suppliers in each region, and they will provide them with fruits of their labor and probably even some powerful artifacts if you befriend a dwarf and smith, and he will make his masterpiece and just give it to you. You will be able to build a powerful armor. So this kind of concludes the description of the whole game, the kingdom, the exploration, the story, and the combat experiences. So next to Oleg and his part about the team.
Yeah, there are some money dogs left for the manager, but just a small comment. Alexander said, ruler is good, and I understand maybe the real reason why we choose Pathfinder Kingmaker with the Russians, like, really.
It's good to be king.
Yeah. Okay, so some words about our studio. I'm happy to start with Alexander, because it was, I guess, 12 years ago, yeah, we met.
Yeah, it was
my first time. I was hired as a second producer on the Heroes of Might and Magic 5. And actually, Alexander was a creative director on this project. And moreover, he was already a legend in the company because he was known as a man who knows everything. For the rest, well, 12 years, I tried to confuse him to find a question he could answer, but no, I failed. You know, even yesterday, when I just ask a little to myself, let's go to dinner with Chris. Someone said, "Oh, there is a good restaurant in Seattle." So we actually first time. to name more projects, before Heroes of Might and Magic, Alexander was working on one of the first CRPG game, Rage of Mages, and then he was creative director at Silent Storm. Tactical RPG series. It was the most highly-rated game in Dial Studio. And after that, we were working on a big MMORPG called Elders Online and Skyforge. And almost the same track record I can tell from my art, our art director. He started with Rage of Mages and goes through the whole this project. So, despite the fact that we are quite a brand new studio, founded just a year ago, we've been working together for years, and the majority of our teammates have more than 10 years of experience in game development. But actually, even more important than having game experience in game development, because there are a lot of experienced game developers all over the world, we spend even more time enjoying playing role-playing games outside of work, sure. So it seems like a brilliant combination to combine our experience and the passion we have for role playing. So it's my group, the project part we're happy to work on. Here I want to say many thanks to Pfizer, and you know, it's not just polite words, because we've been working with a lot of partners for recent years. We got partners in the US, Europe, Korea, South Korea, of course. and I would say it's always quite hard because it's not like somebody bad or not, but all these time differences, difference in mentalities, it always work, make quite a mess, and nobody is happy for this. And to work with Wise is a completely different story. I never experienced such prompt responses for requests, such a deep emotion and engagement in all what we do. And if you could see the comments we've got from Wise, I've never seen such comments. Like, you know, could you please correct call as that of the handle of this name, because it doesn't matter, those are our picture. I really like it. So I'm quite sure that together we will preserve the spirit of this final world in our game. So what will be going on next, interesting? The most frequent question we got when we are going to lunch. And right now we're aiming for the summer next year. We're quite sure that we will be able to complete what we have in mind by this time. The only thing that we have made out of this date might be a Kickstarter that we're going to launch in the New York day. And the reason why we want to go to Kickstarter is quite unusual. Because usually developers go to Kickstarter to get money to make the game leave or to start the development. Luckily, in our case, we've got some support from our parental company who invested in us and make it possible to create quite a solid prototype. A prototype that you can play actually here at Python, that's the first time we've shown this demo. And we're pretty sure that we'll be able to make a solid game next year. But there is really thought that keeps us awake at night. The Pathfinder universe is so big, so has so much difference that we really want to reflect this difference in our game. Because I think we're all Pathfinder fans, RPG fans, and developers alike deserve to have a faithful adaptation of Pathfinder universe in CRPG game. And there are so much interesting things that we just can squeeze in our budget on our own. That's why we'll ask potential backers to support us and make it possible to add cool stuff to our game. To name several, it is new companions, new companions depths, new dungeon and wilderness to explore.
I think a great one is, you know, the game's got music, but one of the goals they want to have is that they hit a certain goal to have a symphony orchestra record the soundtrack instead of just having like digital. It's that kind of stuff. level.
We've already been able to, so talking about music, we've already been able to work with Ion Zuru, it's a very famous composer making music for a lot of CRPG games, but there are only three tracks that we'll be able to make. With the additional money, we'll be able to make a lot more. So, there are a lot of interest, once again, a lot of interesting stuff we would like to add to our game. That's why we'll ask our gamers, potential makers, to support us on this stuff. And meanwhile, once again, please come to see our demo. We'll be happy to show it with you, to give you feedback. Very important for us.
Questions?
Yes.
Yeah. Let's go over far side over there.
So you said that one of the combat settings was core rules, and it's going to be very much like the Pathfinder role-playing game. What are the other settings like?
There are settings like what we call adapted rules. It's a combination of changes for the computer game, making it less deadly for unexperienced players. For example, right now in this setting, critical damage is really reduced because it tends to kill you just on the spot with a couple of lucky crits.
That happened to a cleric in my Kingmaker campaign.
There are a lot of stories like that. And other changes is how damage dealt and. And we also plan to have a difficulty setting called story mode for those who really want to explore the narrative of the game without the hassle of combat. It makes it really, really easy. And also we have some additional difficulties beyond core rules, like hard mode and Iron Man mode, where hit points of monsters are increased, their damage is increased, and in Iron Man mode you have just one save that rewrites itself constantly, so if you really made a bad decision, you probably will not make really good. But all of these options are separated and would be tweaked by any player in the options menu. So if you want to play core rules but without grids, you can make it happen.
So you mentioned that you can, all the varieties of classes from the core rule book and the races. Are the different ethnicities from Galarian going to be something you can choose as well? Like, if I want to be someone who is from Southern Garun or Arisia or somewhere else?
Actually, we are trying to make traits for the characters that will reflect that. And also there will be portraits and ability to customize your character for the all sub-races of humans. So if you want to roleplay some specific character, you can do that.
What rule set are you using for the kingdom building? Is it going to be similar to the tabletop, or is it going to be something pretty different for the game?
Actually, the first prototype we made based on Ultimate Campaign rules, but it kind of make a lot of micro decisions, which is great on the table, but for the computer game, it is really, really heavy. If you want to make a complete strategic game, it is good. But as a layer of an RPG, it's too complicated. So we made another approach, which removed some of the rules and maintained another. So you still have loyalty, stability, and economy. And you still have leaders that affect your kingdom. But events are handled differently, and buildings provide you with some other bonuses work well with event structure. And also there are some additional layers for the stuff I was mentioning, like alignment-based buildings, your allies, and stuff like that.
For the one of the books that you actually build armies, is that going to be part of the CRPG as well?
If we are really, really, really good at the Kickstarter campaign, we will include that. But not from the beginning, because it's an even more strategic layer on top of it.
Armies require a lot of care and feeding, but that would be our desire. We'll see what scope we can manage.
Sure. You mentioned that the combat was tactical based. I didn't hear. Did you say if it was going to be initiative turn based as well?
Right now, it's real time with tactical pose. It has an initiative in it, of course. So your character will start combat earlier if you roll well and have a good initiative and fits like that. But it's not turn based.
Not turn based.
I might have missed this earlier, but what kind of support will the game be getting like after release? Like a lot of the times with Kickstarter games, you get, well, here's the game. And there's not a lot of follow through on the developers to keep updating, fixing. Do you have like expansions or add-ons planned for afterwards besides just the Kickstarter add-ons?
Actually, we used to provide additional service after the game launched, because the previous 10 years we were making an online game, and there is no online game without the service. So surely it will be support in terms of fixes. We're still considering, are we going to make the DLC for the Kingmaker itself? It might be some other adventure pass, because all options sounds very good.
Okay, thank you.
This is sort of related to the music, but this game looks like it'll be really fun to watch for like streaming and stuff. Do you have any ideas about like if your licensing for the music and related things will allow for people to be doing that?
That's an interesting question. actually, as I said, we made some tracks with Andrew, and we're going to track some other composer to make a tracks for our games. And I have no, I don't want to make this tracks close. I mean, everybody who wants to use it will have the opportunity to do it.
So you mentioned about that this is going to be a single player game, and of course like old Baldur's Gate 2 was definitely a single player game, but also some of my biggest memories were queuing in with four people over, you know, like four computers in one house. And you know, it's still such a single player game, like four different people are controlling four different characters. Do you think that ever be possible?
Yeah, I also experienced the Baldur's Gate in that way recently, when this enhanced edition. But right now, we are still considering whether to make this option. Because it's additional layer, it's networking. We have an expertise because of our previous games, but it requires additional work that will not enhance the game overall. It will just provide the opportunity to play together. So we are considering.
Yeah, right now we decided to focus to bring more content into the game. Because networking, that's a lot of stuff to do.
Also, you're very brave to play Baldur's Gate 2 with multiplayer. That was not a priority for the Baldur's Gate series. Like, I felt like with Baldur's Gate, they sort of did multiplayer sort of as a very secondary option. And I think if any project wants to pursue multiplayer, they really have to have the funding for it. And then also they have to realize what an investment that is to do it properly. Because I'm sure you had to go through a lot of hoops like to get that all working. And the conversations, like things get a little slow in terms of pacing. So you want to make that more intertwined with the experience and do it right. And I'm not convinced that Baldur's Gate, while fun, didn't do it at the level that really made it a smooth multiplayer experience. And you're very brave to have done that way.
I agree with you totally. I think it still worked on some level.
Yeah.
I can tell you, Vic and I did multiplayer too. I know.
You guys are tough.
It's something you do together. It's kind of fun. Let's go back there. You.
You mentioned expanding some of the content and lore beyond what's presented in the Adventure Path. As a DM that's run through this with players that are really good at doing that themselves, I don't need to know anything, but I would like to ask that you would put some effort on the Will-O-Wisp Haunted Tower in Candlemere Lake.
We all did.
I did.
There's a real nice hook in that tower.
Oh, yeah. Alright, let's book it.
For the companion, the playable companions, will those be wholly created for the game, or will they mine some of the characters in the adventure path that, you know, in the path are suggested as, kingdom ruler position characters?
First of all, they have a lot of characters from the adventure pass itself. We are happy to have Amiri as one of the companions in the game, so you will be able to experience her story and her ties with Kingmaker story. And also, there are some companions that are derived from characters in the adventure pass, for example, Jugos Nasropol, who was head of a known expedition, and you had a small encounter with him. He is a companion in the game, and you can have him as a leading position in your kingdom.
Yeah, Jubilos was a nice connection because he's an explorer, he gathers a lot of knowledge. He's great to have as a companion. He's going to inform, like, you know, so the lore of different areas that you're going to. And we're like, well, that'd be really helpful. Like, hey,
like that was a natural fit for the companion roster.
It'd be weird because my player's murdered him.
And you will be able to if you want to.
Nice. Anybody else have any questions? As much ahead of us, all right.
Can you talk a little more about how alignment will play into the game?
Yeah. So there are a lot of decisions that shift your alignment a bit, but it's your alignment of the player character. The companions have their own alignment, their own agenda. If your agenda and their agenda doesn't align very well, they can warn you and then leave you if you really not share their ideals and their interests. Also, when you sometimes have a tough decision or in tough spot, there are some responses that are tied to your alignment. We call them reinforced responses. If you are really, really chaotic, you can make this decision, while all other players will be unable to make this decision because they don't have these concepts. And this supports all of the nine alliance.
Where is the room for the demo, and is the game server set up?
The room for the demo is, I don't know how to
it's
describe.
Called the coat room. It's up where registration, is near registration.
Is it the big TV that's out there?
That's showing a loop of actual gameplay. It's around to the left of that.
And then is the Kickstarter set up?
No, not yet. But we're let's just say we're working on that this afternoon. We're going to be doing a lot of talking and stuff like that. You're very, stay tuned. Don't worry, you won't miss it if you follow Paizo. we'll make sure you don't miss it.
Don't be too fast. I need to save the money after.
Well, the good thing about Kickstarters, they do tend to go like a while. So
we like to give a warning just for that reason.
So I know when tying the game system to a different media, sometimes there's issues with OGL and stuff. Have you solved all those issues?
Solved all the issues? It's an interesting thing, and we're working with obviously pretty closely these guys on how to do that. I mean, we have to deal with that on our own games, even like the Venture Card game and stuff. Use the OGL, so we have to make some changes. Our novels don't use the OGL.
Sure.
So we've already kind of gone on this path a little bit with some of our own stuff, and so we have like lessons we've learned, and so we can obviously share.
So there'll be some differences.
But. Yeah, I mean, there's differences that, obviously there's some stuff that's not open, in the open game content, and some stuff can't. I mean, mechanics themselves can't be protected. But the assembly of mechanics into a whole can be, because it's a very complicated boss.
Sure.
But anyway, there's just things you have to do with that. And I think then there's also just, as like Alexander mentioned, there's things when you're playing a game that there's stuff that just doesn't work. That works on the tabletop a certain way, but it won't work in a CRPG. And so you change that and try to keep the flavor of it even, But I can tell you, they want to be as faithful as they can possibly be. To a fault, maybe. And I may have sometimes we have to maybe push them from being as faithful as they'd like to be because of OGL things. But the good news is that probably the foremost authorities on the OGL were Paizo. So that tends to be a pretty good thing. So, I will say we're going to be super involved with working with. On this game. We'll be playing it alongside them as they're building it, giving feedback on the way. We have weekly, is it? Or bi-weekly?
Bi-weekly
Skype conversations with them where they show us stuff and we talk about it. And, it's a very collaborative effort. It's not like something where we're like, hey, here's the license, tell us when you're ready to release this thing. We're super, super involved and will be going forward. And I can tell you, my Paizo staff is very interested in getting played through playtests and stuff like that. So there's going to be a lot of Paizo involvement. So that bodes well for the game. Yeah.
So I don't remember there being any goblins in the printed version of the AP, so how are you going to fix that?
Magic. Oh, you know, we've already put them in Pathfinder Online, which is set in the River Kingdom, so I guess there's an official, you know, I mean, if you look in the Emerald Spire, there's the Kingdom of Zog, and there's a whole Goblin Kingdom that was in the River Kingdom, so there's definitely precedent for having goblins in the River Kingdom, just because they weren't in the Gnome Marches doesn't mean they can't sneak in. So, we love goblins, trust me. Anything else?
So, you're using real time with pause.
Mm-hmm.
As a player who prefers turn based, my biggest issue with that is area effect spells. By the time you actually launch them, no one's where they were when you first did that. Is that something that you think you might be able to address?
I will not promise anything because it will be kind of weird rules if you want to address that. But there will be setting in those options I mentioned to turn off friendly fire. So if you just put your tank and gather enemies you can nuke them without friendly fire, it will go kind of close to what you want from the RF effect spells. In other ways, monsters in the real time still tend to be quite predictable because the computer rules them, and so it's not that hard. And others are probably. You can try to go to the demo version and try it yourself.
Thank you.
Speaking of the pausing in our list of options, which sounds great, will there be a like auto pause for when choices come up for your character?
Yeah. Right now we have an auto pausing for the start of the combat because it's the time when you have to understand what you stepped into and who is attacking you. But also there will be a range of auto pause options similar to the Baldur's Gate experience. So if you want to have a pause at the end of each round, you will have it. It's not really fun to play that way, in my opinion, because it just stops the flowing of the combat, and if you just here to murder some wolves, don't want that. But still, if you want to, there will be options for that.
Sort of another quality of life question, but like back in the Baldur's Gate day, you would pause the game and assign actions for all your characters, and it wasn't totally, like there wasn't really clear indication on the HUD that actions were really registered compared to something like Knights of the Old Republic where you used an action and it shows up on the screen. It's like, this is what your character is definitely doing when you unpause. You can have like that kind of quality of life.
The game industry made a lot of good decisions in terms of HUD and interface design from Baldur's Gate time until now, and we're borrowing from some of that. I couldn't share a screenshot right now, but if you come up to the demo room, there is some small indicator above the character's head which registers what action he is planning to do, either if AI rules them or if you just issued an order. And if the character doesn't know what to do, he is also showing a question mark to show you that he's available for new order.
Sounds good. What led to the decision to pick an adventure path that's published rather than make an original story?
Because I liked it. And also because it just inherently has a very great feature that stands us out from other RPGs, it's Kingdom. And it is, in my opinion, it's a great power fantasy to be in the ruler of the kingdom, not the savior of the universe, but the person who claimed something and somehow new responsibilities appeared out of nowhere to deal with all the people that lived in this area. And it's a different story, not about saving the world, but about the, about your claim and your team.
I think there's also another thing that we've talked about, and that is that with something like Kingmaker, there's all this experience of all these GMs out there who've run through it. And you know, I know, having worked on like Rise of the Runelords and Curse of the Crimson Throne compilations, we made those better when we did the compilations because there was all this experience, right? When you write stuff for the first time, you don't really quite know how it's gonna you know, be played and stuff, and there's mistakes that get made. When you have something that's made like the Adventure Paths, and there's all these thousands and thousands of tables that are playing this at their home, there's a collective wisdom and knowledge that we get as Paizo, and then our message boards have, and you know, anybody who runs one of our Adventure Paths without interacting with our message boards and what the other people are doing is missing out on some great stuff. And I think that allows, you know, it gives these guys a base to start with, right? Gives a lot of information about how it's played out so they can avoid some of those mistakes. And then they can be creative on top of that. I mean, that's why a great thing about Kingmaker is the sandbox, right? It was meant to be the sandbox that has a story that's there. But a big part of the story is you as the kingdom builders and the people running and building it. And there's, you know, we left a lot of room in that story to add your own stuff in. And if you read people's campaign reviews on our message boards, you can see how everybody made it their own, you know. And this is kind of like these guys taking this campaign and making it their own and adding their own flavor and flair into it. And I think that's kind of cool. And that's really what the Adventure Paths are about in the first place. It's kind of like, you know, giving GMs the ability to kind of like mold it, make their own. In this case, Alcat Games is the GM molding it, making their own. So it's familiar, but yet it's going to be different. You know, and I think that's really neat.
Yeah, the structure of the Adventure Paths leaves a lot of room to breathe. So if you do want to add that additional content, like the structure like actually has a core story to it. But there's a lot of freedom to explore in every chapter in terms of additional content you want to do. And that's not even including companion interjections, companion stories being woven into that too. So there's a lot of freedom to it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, of course, everything I've seen and I've heard, I love it. I'm excited. I can't wait for it. I wish it was coming out tomorrow.
We do too.
But I'd love to hear it straight from you. Like, you give them kind of that under the breath threat, as mentioned earlier, you don't fuck it up. Do you love it?
Do I love what? The game yet?
The game.
It's still a work in progress, but what I've seen so far, yeah, I'm geeking.
Awesome.
I'm geeking. And here's the thing, I can tell you that, you know, the thing that really sold me on working with these guys is when, you know, Alex Zedek was over to Gen Con just to meet with me and talk about this project. I mean, no other reason. He flew all the way from Moscow just to meet with me. And we sat there and had lunch, and we just, as we started talking about it, it's like two kindred GMs talking about this campaign and getting excited. And I can tell he's just as excited about this as I am about it. And it didn't take long for me to realize that this wasn't just like they're taking Pathfinder and painting it over something and not really understanding it. No, they get it. They really, really, really get it. Just like you know, as if it was being done at Paizo, and they understand what we're trying to accomplish. They understand why Pathfinder is different and what makes it different. And you know, when I started seeing that, that's when I really kind of said, okay, these guys really are really, you know, was someone I want to work with. I mean, one interesting thing is they're part of a, you mentioned they've got a bigger parent company. Well, their bigger parent company actually has a hobby game aspect to it, and they actually publish Pathfinder in Russian and stuff like over there. So they actually have people over there that are dealing with us on a whole different level of doing Pathfinder Society over there and things like that. So, you know, it's not just, you know, they have actually a bigger umbrella company that does games and larger scale and pretty cool stuff. They do our adventure card games. Yeah, you know, it's just that was all I needed to be sold, was just And then looking at the art, they presented some artwork, and there was actually one cool picture that I wish you could share someday again with people, but it was basically, it showed this big, you know, you're looking at this big, like, overhead view of the Norm washes, and you're seeing like little bits of old crumbled ruins peeking their head out of the treetops and stuff, and then there's this, you know, owl bear kind of barking his way across the landscape and stuff, and I was like, oh man, that's like totally the Kingmaker in a nutshell. You know, it's just, well, I want to go over there and see what's there, and I want to go over there and see what's there, and just get kind of the whole exploration thing. And they really just nailed it. And you know, I just, that one picture, that's what I took around and showed everybody. It's like, see that picture? They get it. Anything else? Thank you. We are out of time. Matt, one more, and then we'll be off.
Miri is in the sample art. Will the iconics be like pre-generated characters you can play?
Miri is a companion you will encounter almost at the beginning of the game, and she could join your effort and travel through, experience her own story, and be a major part of the story we are telling. There will be also some other iconic characters as a non-player character with their own agendas, quests, and stuff like that, and probably something more for the game.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and stay tuned for more information. We'll make sure we have-